You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
It's Thursday, August 21st. I'm Catherine Lanfer, in for John Hockenberry. Karl Rove is the former Deputy Chief of Staff and Senior Advisor to President George W. Bush. He's also a master political strategist, both revered and reviled as the architect of Bush's two terms in office. With this year's presidential campaign so tight, he's offering his advice to both sides of the aisle. He joins us by phone from Washington. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Now,
thank you.
What are the imperatives for both sides at this convention?
It's interesting. Conventions are completely artificial in a way, and voters know it. But as I wrote this morning in my weekly column in the Wall Street Journal, each side has to achieve certain things at what is their last best controlled opportunity before the election. This is we have the debates, but they're spontaneous and unpredictable. These conventions can be scripted down to the moment, and they are.
But aren't there dangers in having something too tightly scripted? What sort of balance do candidates have to walk here?
Well, they have to aim for authenticity. In my column, I referred to it as a mini drama made for news coverage, and that's exactly what it is. It's a well scripted production. Voters know their theatrical productions that are laid on for their benefit. But what they want is they want authenticity and storylines that don't seem contrived. They want it to ring true. They understand that people are being portrayed as perfect as speeches, film, staging, and flackery can make them. But what they want is they want to have a sense of authenticity. That's why at the 2000 Democratic Convention, the famed kiss between Tipper and Al Gore worked because it seemed authentic. And in my view, that's why John Kerry's sort of phony, I'm John Kerry and I'm reporting for duty, and this snappy little salute just struck people as contrived and phony. But, they've got to be real. People walk away from this knowing that this has all been planned for their benefit. But on the other hand, they can smell whether or not it seems authentic.
Okay, you are the go-to guy for scripted authenticity. What is it that John McCain should be doing at his convention?
Well, he's got three things I think he needs to do. First is he needs to have a greater public awareness of the character, of his character. This man has an incredible story, which because he has sort of this warrior ethics, he's uncomfortable talking about. And we saw that in the Saddleback event last weekend. He began to show some pretty moving glimpses of his inner character, but it's very difficult for him to talk about, for example, how he and his wife adopted a infant near death from Mother Teresa's orphanage in Bangladesh 18 years ago. It's difficult for him to talk about the role that faith played in sustaining him during seven hellish years in Vietnam prisons. I mean, they need to hear more of that. Second, he needs to persuade people that he can tackle domestic challenges. Look, people look at him and say he can handle foreign policy. He's up to the job of being president. I can see him as commander-in-chief. But where people have doubts, and they're not big doubts, but they're doubts, and they will gnaw away at his candidacy, is does this guy understand the concerns we've got about our jobs, our health care, our kids' education, the coarseness of our culture, the safety of our communities? Does he have a vision for the domestic side that matters? And finally, look, he's got a reputation as a maverick, and he's about ready to take the helm of the GOP as their nominee for president officially. So he's got to, at that convention, make it clear, look, I'm going to remain who I am, a maverick with an independent streak. I'll work across party lines as president as I did as senator. My recommendation would be that he look for a way to say, look, I'm going to have some high-profile Democrats join my cabinet, and, here are a couple of them.
Well, I was just going to say, so Joe Lieberman is vice president. Wow, what a maverick move.
Well, that may be a little bit too far for the Republican convention, but it is a indication of the sort of the bipartisanship that he's got to evince. I'm not certain that, you with your choice of your vice president, the first rule is do no harm. And, Joe Lieberman would make an excellent Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense. I'm not certain how receptive the Republican National Convention would be to making the number two person on their ticket a Democrat. Unity tickets have tended not to work. Unity governments have. Remember Franklin Roosevelt famously in 1940, following the 1940 election, took Henry L. Stimson, who was a open Republican and had served in Republican administrations, made him Secretary of War, and made the Knox, the Republican vice presidential candidate in 1936, his Secretary of Navy.
Now, quickly, what can McCain do with President Bush at this convention? Given he's got a balancing act here with, frankly, an unpopular president, he's got to show that he's maverick, but he's also got to keep the party faithful.
Well, the main thing is to focus on himself, not the president. You know, look, nobody likes somebody who's a clone of anybody. And, you know, that's one of the things that Al Gore grappled with. Should he get too close or too far away from a popular president in the form of Bill Clinton? Well, the main thing is to focus on who you are. That's what the American people want to know.
Okay.
And so, you know, this idea that you somehow have to triangulate against somebody of your own party is incorrect. What you really ought to focus on is using your time to explain who you are.
Now, we promised advice across the aisle. So Barack Obama, he's got an important convention and an important vice presidential selection coming up.
Well, he's got, you know, his job is a little bit simpler because he's got basically two things to do at his convention. It's always easier if you got fewer things to do. And he doesn't have to persuade people. He has to just simply reassure people that he's up to the job. Now, his problem is that he's had since June to do that, and it hasn't gotten better. In fact, it hasn't really gotten better since March. In March, the Washington Post ABC poll asked if people thought he had the experience to be president, and 46% said no. That's a very high number. You need to work that number down to where it's in the mid to low teens.
Well, they certainly said that same thing about your candidate in 2000, that he was inexperienced. So what advice, how do you believe that you convinced America that George W. Bush did have the experience?
Well,
what should Obama do?
Well, first of all, he's missed the best opportunity he's had. During what we essentially did in 2000 was recognize that people needed to be reassured about that. And the way they needed to be reassured was by hearing him talk about big, important things. So over the course of March, April, May, and June, George W. Bush went out and laid out a big and bold vision. He talked about education reform. He talked about reform of our welfare system through a compassionate conservative initiative, the faith and community-based organization program. He laid that out in detail. I went to Rancho Cucamonga, California, and laid out a program of entitlement reform, including reform of Social Security. He made a big, high-profile speech on ending the ABM treaty as the basis of reconstructing our relationship with the former Soviet Union, which won applause from the foreign policy community. Literally, he spent 4 months laying out substance of what it was he would do as president in intricate detail, major high-profile speeches that were literally, you know, Indianapolis, California, New York, Washington, you name it. And he laid out a big and bold agenda. And at the end of that, by June, if you go back and look at the commentary in June, you have people like David Gergen saying, you know, George Bush, you know, has laid out a bold agenda for America and has made it clear to the Americans what they can expect as governor.
Carl, now, are you running him for a third term?
No, there's a thing called the Constitution, and ever since Franklin Roosevelt got four terms, every president's been limited to two. That might be a surprise, but I just wanted to
Carl,
drop it in
well,
there.
Thanks a lot. Always
you
good
bet.
To get a tip. Carl Rove,
right,
thanks for joining us.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.